Hallelujah. While these are still praying, just take your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms chapter number 1. Thank you, Brother Todd. I appreciate that. I appreciate the singing tonight. That's mighty good. Amen. Psalms chapter number 1. I had them sing that song tonight because I want to talk about the Bible for just a little bit. You say, "Ah, we all believe the King James Bible is the Word of God." Yeah, but we don't all live like we do. Would you agree with that? We swear by the book, but we don't live by the book. Amen. We'll talk about our Bibles tonight and what your Bible will do for you. God didn't leave this because He liked to write big books. He could have just zapped and poofed and made one bigger than a transfer truck could haul. Amen. God left this to help you and I. Amen. I mean, God gains nothing by this Bible still being in print. Most powerful book ever written, the Word of God. Amen. Amen. People have bled and died for it. Amen. People have been murdered over this book. I'm talking about thousands of people. Skinned alive. Burned at the stake, drugged through the streets of cities because of that book right there. Amen. Old Voltaire said in the 1700s, he said, I forgot how many years he said. He said, so many years, he said, that thing will cease to exist. Well, guess what, Mr. Voltaire, burning in hell tonight, it still exists and you don't. Amen. 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 It's a powerful book. Look at Psalms chapter number 1, where the Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Watch verse number 2, where the Bible said, but his delight, his joy, his thrill, his happiness, even his entertainment, all those things we think we as humans need, and they do have a place. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then he goes on and said, he shall be planted like a tree by the rivers of water. He shall be planted like a tree because he meditates in that book day and night. Amen. I believe with all my heart that we live such busy lives that this Bible doesn't take up the place that it needs in our lives. Some people think we're a little radical because we believe the King James Bible is the only real Word of God. But that's exactly what we believe. Listen, I can handle with you monkeying with my music better than I can handle you monkeying with my book. Amen. If God is not good enough to leave us His Word, which He said in Psalms was perfect, that He promised that He would preserve, amen, if He's not able to do that, then what can I trust? If blood shouldn't really be in the Bible, well, what am I building my hope and my trust on? Amen. If Christ is not the way, and these new versions has it right, that He's just a way, then there's a good chance that the guys who flew the planes into the Twin Towers in 2001, there's a good chance they were saved. If Christ is just a way. We okay? If that's the truth, then Mr. Olstein was right when he told Larry King, well, Mr. King, I just don't know if Christ is the only way. But according to this book, He is the only way. Let's talk about the Bible just for a minute tonight and what it can do for you. It's a powerful book. I like to read novels. And I know that I'm not talking about the Harlequin romance junk. I love to read about war. I love that. I love to read about war. That old Tom Clancy, some of his books are pretty good. A lot of them based on true stories. I read that one about the USS Midway. That was awesome. And just stuff that really happened in our nation's history. Boy, I love to read that stuff. But never have I read one of those books and thought, wow, that changed my life. Amen. There's a stack of books in my study that I've read, but you know what? I've never went back and opened one of them again. Why? Because when I read it again, I'm going to read the same thing I read the time before. But this book has a power about it. It's a spiritual book. And every time I read it, I get something different. Amen. You read the Bible all the way through, and then sometimes a preacher will get to a passage of Scripture that you're very familiar with, and while he's preaching, you go, wow, I've never seen that before. Why? Because that is a bottomless well, amen, of substance for you and I to live by. Amen. It's a powerful book. You know what it'll do? It'll make a drunkard sober. Right. Amen. It'll make a dope addict clean. Yeah. Hey, yes, sir, boy. It'll take a prostitute and put her in the choir loft. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's a powerful book. AA does not have a success rate like this book does. No rehab in the country has a success rate like this book does. No marriage counselor in the world has a success rate like this book does. I'm telling you, it is a powerful book. Amen. Sometimes I wonder why we slip and fall and just so weak spiritually. It's because we're not hooked up to where we get our power from. Somebody said, well, I thought power comes from prayer. If you're not reading that book, I promise you, you're not praying. I promise you, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying like you ought to. Because you can't pray, not really pray, and not feel guilty about neglecting your Bible. Most powerful book in the world, but yet probably the most neglected book in the world. Wonder how many of us has made New Year's resolutions. I'm going to read my Bible through this year. And you get through about January. I asked somebody in the church one day, they told me on New Year's on our watch night service, they're going to read their Bible through. About 3 weeks later, I asked them, I said, how are you doing with that reading your Bible through? Well, I made it about 2 weeks, and now I'm so far behind. It takes discipline, don't it? It takes discipline. Oh, yeah. I watched a little bit of the, and mine may never even get to the message tonight, but I watched a little bit of the New England Patriots and the... Tennessee Titans, there you go, thank you. The New England Patriots and the Tennessee Titans playing football. I took a little nap after I got home from the hospital and flipped it on, thought the Falcons was playing, but it was them, and that they playing in snow in October. I mean, you couldn't even see the stripes on the field. They had to clean off a place. And them guys would get tackled, Brother Freddie, and they would slide as far from here to the baptistry. Yeah. They really would, just to cross that ground. And I thought, that is humanly impossible. That's humanly impossible. I couldn't even run in weather like that. I'd take one breath and my lungs would freeze up and it wouldn't blow out. Amen. I ain't made for that cold weather. I just ain't. But I got to looking at that and I thought, man, it's just like this message you're going to preach tonight. It takes discipline to be in the condition to do what they do. We look at these Christians like Brother Charles and these men that we admire and their walk with God. And brother, you can tell they've just got power with God and they've been with God. And you think, boy, I'd give anything if I could be like that. You could if you had their discipline. Amen. It's a powerful book. It has the ability to get to you like nothing else can get to you. You ever been reading it and go, ooh, just like... God just shot you out of a page, man. Like electrical vote, nearly. I mean, just you know that was for you. I've heard people talk about verses jumping off the page. I ain't never had a verse jump off the page. I do. I'm closing it and quitting, amen. Now, that's spooky right there. But I know what you mean by saying that. That verse just stood out to you. That was God talking to you. That's a powerful book. It's powerful because it's God-breathed. Amen. It's God-breathed. It's God-inspired. Holy men of old spake as they were moved. Hey, it is a God-breathed book. God is not just the author of it. It's an inspired book, but it's also a preserved book. Amen. It's going to be here. When the world is gone, this book will be here. Amen. It's a powerful book. Paul said that the gospel is the word of God, right? He said it was the power of God unto salvation. You know what? You wouldn't even be sitting here singing about the old man's dead tonight. Hadn't it been for the word of God. Right. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the word of God, the power of God, the power of the words of God that changed our lives. Then not only is it a powerful book, but it's a pure book. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I said there's nothing. Did you know that some men, some of these scholars have driven themselves literally insane trying to fix it? To me, that's like a Polack. Going to, and I don't know, Polish people may be really smart. I'm just reference. Retard, let's try that. Going down to NASA and saying, I need to fix that rocket for y'all. Yeah. Who am I to say, God, I need to fix that book for you. Yeah. Lord, you put 6,000 too many words in there. Yeah. Huh. I could understand it more if they were adding words. But why take them out? Why words like Christ and blood? Amen. We okay? It's a pure book. There is nothing wrong with this Bible. And these scholars today, they'll argue that point over with you more than any other thing. Hey, you know what it is? It's just the devil trying to tear down the Word of God. It's exactly what the devil did with Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, man, won't you eat that fruit? She said, God said. He said, God hath not surely said, blah, 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 blah. Amen. He's still doing the same thing today. God's telling us what He wants us to know in His Word, and as soon as we go out the door and we say to somebody in our family, well, the preacher said we're not supposed to do this. Well, he's just crazy. I wouldn't listen to that. If it lines up with that book, that's God talking to us. Amen. I said that's God talking to us. Well, instead of telling the preacher said, if it lines up with the book, tell him God said. Well, God didn't really mean that. Then why did He say it? You ladies, before you leave to go off during the day, or you tell your children to clean your room, does that really mean you want them to go out and play? What's it mean? Why would it mean clean your room if you said clean your room? Shouldn't it mean something totally opposite? According to our great Bible scholars, it should. No, you say what you mean, and so does God. He's not giving us riddles that we got to try and figure out. He's speaking in English. And somebody said, man, I've got 5 points. I ain't got the first one yet. Somebody, this is what I get all the time. Well, I just understand those newer versions better. Okay. I'm not picking on you. If you carry an NIV and several of them others, what's easier to understand? Butter? How many of you know what butter is? Butter, B-U-T-T-E-R, like you put on your toast. What about curds? Well, that's what they changed butter to. Them new Bibles have words in them that you'd wash your kid's mouth out with soap for saying. Amen. I heard about a preacher friend of mine. He handed out some of them funny Bibles in his church. And he would get down to these passages and he'd say, so and so, you stand up and read that. And they'd start reading down through the verse and they'd go, uh-uh. I'm talking about like foul words. Amen. When the servant went to get Isaac's bride, standing there at the well while she's watering her camels, you know what he said? How dare you break wind before me? Why would you put that in there? That sound like something ought to be in the Bible to you? Don't to me either, but that's what they changed it to. Amen, I've read it with my own eyes. What I'm saying is not just a powerful book, it's a pure book, and we can take God at His Word. I don't care if you say, well, the educated people. Well, maybe they're educated beyond their intelligence. We're in a foul shape when we get to the place where we think we know more than God. Instead of trying to fix God, why don't we let God fix us? That's like when that big flood came over there. I think it was in China. Is that where Buddha's so big? Is it China or Japan? Both. Anyway, I think it was China. And it come a big flood and they had their big golden boot up on the side of the hill and the floods came and started washing the dirt out. And they got them pictures, all them little Chinese out there trying to hold up their God. That's like us trying to fix the Word of God. Listen, man, I'm not holding my God up tonight. My God's holding me up tonight. This book's not resting on what I know. I'm resting on what it knows. Thank God. It's a pure book. Amen. Everywhere I go now, there's controversy and famous preachers putting out stuff and saying that it's got errors and it's got problems. They want to know what I think. And I think anybody that's got thinks they're smart enough to fix God's word is an idiot, and I ain't got time to fool with it. Yeah. Amen. Somebody said, well, I'd like to challenge you to a debate. Not me. I probably ain't smart enough to debate you. But I'm smart enough to believe that book right there. Does that make sense? I'm probably not smart enough to go reading backwards with Greek and Hebrew with you. Brother Freddie can. But I'm smart enough to believe that book right there. And if you're so smart you don't believe it, you ain't all that smart after all. Amen? It's a powerful book. It's a pure book. I hope we're convinced about that. But it's also a purifying book. The reason our lives get in such shambles is because this word is not cleaning us like it should be. I take a shower every day, whether I need it or not. Amen. Sometimes during the summertime when it's hot and sweaty, I can't go to bed like that sweaty. It's just me. I'll take another. I'll take two. Why? Because I'm dirty and it don't feel right. But I go a day without reading that book, I'm dirty too. You see, we go through our days and we go through our jobs and we go through our lives and we've got all this worldly, secular stuff coming in, coming in, coming in, coming in. We got 10 times more of that coming in than we do this coming in. Of course we're going to be backslid. Of course we're going to be away from God. Why? Because the world's having more influence on our heart and our life than the God is. Amen. I promise you, without even investigating, I could say that 98, if not 99% of the people in this room watch more TV than they do reading this Bible. Guaranteed. I guarantee you that 99% of the teenagers in this room spend more time with an ear pod in their ears. It ain't an iPod, it'd go in your eyes. Than they do reading this Bible right here. And we wonder why we're where we are. We wonder why this country is where it is. We've walked away from that. Pure and simple. I remember studying in school where presidents would quote great portions of it. Where they prayed, and they didn't just pray to the Almighty Creator. They called Him by name. Amen. Somebody says, oh, I heard so-and-so pray to God or thank God. Well, there's a bunch of little g-gods. That don't mean their God's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He's not some generic thing. Amen. We've walked away from the book. And if anything's ever going to be made right in our homes and our lives, personally, just one-on-one with me and God, I'm going to have to get back in that book that will clean me up. Do you know why you can go for lengths of time in sin and it not bother you? Because you ain't been in here. You get in here and I promise you God can highlight your wickedness with His word quicker than He can do anything else. Oh, yeah. How many of you have been reading the Bible just casually, just reading the Bible, and it convicted you? Amen. It'll do it. It'll clean your clock. God will have you focus your eyes in on where you're. We get down and pray and say, God, show me where I'm not right. But then we fail to read His word. How does He show us? Amen. God speaks to us in two major ways, through His word and through the preaching of His word. I know His spirit can speak to you and all that kind of, but those are the major two ways God speaks to you. That's through the reading of the word and the preaching of the word. If that wasn't so, then why would it be so many times when I preach, you think I've been reading your mail? Or you think I've been on your Facebook? I've never been on nobody's Facebook. I hadn't, because you got a beast from, I ain't got no friends. I asked somebody the other day, I said, I want to look at your Facebook. They said, you ain't my friend. I said, wow, boy, that's encouraging. Then I figured out I got to have one too, you know, and I ain't got time to fool with it. I ain't against it if it's clean, but I just ain't got time to fool with it. Amen. Amen. People put everything about themselves on the internet. Not me, Jack. The less you know, the better. I don't want to give you no ammunition. I get talked about bad enough. Amen? This book will clean us up. We need to spend time with it. We need to spend time with it. I remember we had a missionary come through here some time back. I'm burning up. We had a missionary come through here some time back. Brother Freddie may remember where he's from. That he was from a communist country, and he had gotten hold of the Bible, and he said that he didn't believe God. They were atheist pagans. And he was some foreigner from Egypt or somewhere. I can't remember. And he said, 30 days later, God convinced me. No, yeah, it was 30 days later. God convinced me that book was right. He said, because I'd already went through it one time and was halfway through the second. That's Bible reading, friend. You remember that? He was dark-skinned. That blew my mind. I cornered him up. I said, man, was that the truth or was that just preaching? He said, that's the truth, brother. Can you imagine reading the Bible all the way through and then halfway again in 30 days? He got something in his brain I ain't got. That's wild. We don't spend enough time in it. We just don't spend enough time in the book. Listen, he said in Psalms chapter 1 and verse number 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That don't mean he reads it day and night, but he thinks about it day and night. I get more sermons to preach, or there's more preparation done to preach just in thinking about what I've read. Amen? You can't pass a test at school if you just read through it and you don't give it no thought after that. Well, some people are brilliant enough they can, but I can't. You got to give that thing some thought. Amen. Listen, the Christian who makes much of the Word of God will be blessed by God. Amen. Let me give you some things that will help you, some things your Bible will do for you. Number one, it will help you with the assurance of your salvation. Reading, just daily reading in the Word will help you with the assurance of your salvation. Why? Because you got God talking to you more than you got the devil talking to you. You're going to run across them verses like, where's that? 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Wow, brother. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. We read that verse over there in Ephesians about being sealed on the day of redemption and on and on and on and on and on. It's the Bible that will convince you that what you've got at the altar was the real thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Somebody said, the devil's making me doubt my salvation. Well, what's God doing to make you sure of it? When Ashley was young, she's always been a real scaredy type. And I don't mean that in a bad way. She's just real tender, very, very tender-hearted. She'd hear Daddy preach on hell, and I'd have to go in there and spend half a night in her bedroom with her because she'd get to question her salvation. You know how we'd fix that every time? That book right there. That book will help you be sure of your salvation. Did you know you can, I said this the other day, you can get out there and get so far away from God, even though you are saved, you don't feel like it. You don't feel like it. How many have ever been there? You didn't even feel worthy to pray. Thank God for this book right here. It assures me that even when I'm bad, He loves me. Not an excuse to be bad, but He still loves me. And I'm still His child. And I read over where He chastens them that He loves. I say, well, I must still be His. If He's wearing me out like this, I must still belong to Him. He don't just go around whipping other people's children. He only whips those that belong to Him. Amen. This Bible will give you assurance of your salvation. Number two, I'm just going to hurry through these. This Bible will help you live with victory in your life. This Bible will help you live with victory in your life. I'll be honest with you, there have been times that I would have quit had it not been for the book. Had it not been for the Bible. I remember one night sitting at my kitchen table, I was done. I'd done settled, done deal. Done told God, that's it, I'm through. Bible was laying there. I'd cried all over the page. I got through telling God I was done. And I looked down at that page, highlighted, in yellow highlighter that I had highlighted in that little Scofield Bible. It said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And it was then I realized I was carrying a weight that I wasn't meant to carry to begin with. I realized that I was dealing with something that was bigger than me. And if there's any way I was going to have to survive, I was really going to have to let Him have it. And God gave me that message, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen? That Bible will give you victory in your life. Listen, Psalms 119 and verse number 9. Some of y'all can quote that probably. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalms 119 and verse number 11. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wow. John chapter 17, verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Wow. I wonder sometimes if we live such defeated Christian lives, it's because we're not getting a good dose of this on a regular basis. Now, I'm not one of those preachers that stand up and say, if you don't read your Bible through in a year, you're wicked. A preacher said something, I believe it was Brother Wayne Shemish. I used to say that. I believe it was Brother Wayne Shemish said, I eat till I'm full. He said, I don't read my Bible to be reading through it in a year. He said, I read to get full. Some people have a bigger appetite than others. But you know what I've learned? After hearing that statement, the appetite grows. I remember laying in bed forcing myself, barely my eyes, doing like this right here. Oh, I got to get to this. I wasn't reading the Bible to read the Bible. I was reading the Bible to get to this mark right here. You follow me? So I found out when I just slow down, take what I can, I was getting a whole lot more. Amen. I went through all this stuff. People said, oh, get your Bible on tape and listen to it while you read. You'll get more. And try to read three lines at a time. Baloney with that. If God gives you that gift, you can do that. I think Brother Ruttman can do that. He reads like 700 words a minute. Is that right? I mean, a book a day. Ain't no way. I ain't got that. Brother Sammy Allen can look at that page. Brother Mike Bagwell can look at that page and get a visual picture of it. It's called a photographic memory. If you ever notice when Brother Sammy's quoting Scripture, he'll quote over 100 verses of Scripture while he's preaching. He stops and he does his eyes like that. You know what he's doing? He's looking. He can see that page. I remember one time with his kids, they was going to challenge him to stump him on the Bible. This little girl got up and read part of a verse. And that's what you do. You just quote part of a verse, and then he would tell you the reference, where it was. She stood up and quoted part of the verse. He went, He said, I tell you what, I don't know exactly which verse it is, but I'll just read you the chapter. And that's what he did, and he got down to where the verse was. And he said, that's it right there. Amen. I don't have that. I'm not a slow reader, but I'm a slow reader. Amen. So just get what I can and get what you can. It don't feel bad if somebody read 10 chapters and you could only do 5. Hallelujah. You got 5. Amen. This Bible will help you in the way you live. It'll give you victory in your life. Why? Because it is a powerful book.
Yes, sir.
And without it, we don't have the power to overcome everything that's coming at us, so we live defeated, and we live beat down. Listen, when Jesus was, when Jesus went up out into the wilderness in Matthew chapter number 4, and there he was tempted of the devil. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And then the devil came to him and said, if you really the Son of God, command, you know, fasted, he ain't ate in 40 days and 40 nights. That's hungry, whether you know it or not. And the devil said, if you really, Son of God, command these stones be made bread. What did he say? He started quoting Scripture. You know who quotes more Scripture in the Bible than anybody? Jesus Christ. Every time them scribes and Pharisees tried to corner him up, he'd quote something out of Isaiah. Amen. He'd do it, boy. He said, huh? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Scripture. 3 times he tempted him, and every time he gave him Scripture, he gave him Scripture, he gave him Scripture. How did he do it? He was the Scripture, but how do we do it? We have to have it in here.
Yeah.
Amen? Have you ever been witnessing to somebody or had somebody jump on you about something and you didn't even try to memorize this verse, but verses started popping in your head?
Yeah.
You know what that's doing? That book's in there if you've read it. And God can help you recall it.
Amen.
Amen. I've got through talking with people. I had a lady get me on eternal security one day. And boy, I was just to begin with, I was like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And boy, she was, well, all of a sudden, a light come on. And I said, she said, well, I have to go. That's what the devil did after Jesus got through quoting scripture too. He had to go, amen. I didn't tell her that, but I did think it, amen. I'll tell you, I walked around, man, if I hadn't known my Bible, I'd have walked away from there with my head bowed, doubting my faith, doubting my theology. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
The devil's number one tool is to cast doubt on the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's why so many people are so messed up doctrinally.
Yep.
They ain't got no book in them.
Right.
If all they got's an hour and 15, 20 minutes of concert, 5 minutes of preaching from a little preacherette, no book. Amen. I'm not being critical, I'm being right. Amen. That singing ain't for nothing but to get us ready for this. It's the appetizer. It's something to get us cranked up and ready to hear what God has to say. That music is to get our minds off of what's out there in the world so we can get our mind on the Word of God. Amen. Preaching will help you to have full assurance of your salvation. I doubt a lot of things, but I don't doubt my salvation. I don't. There's days I don't feel saved, but I know I am because this book says I am. If I'm not saved, then God's a liar. Somebody said, well, what if you do this sin or that sin? If I'm not saved, God's a liar.
Amen.
I'm eternally His. I've been bought with a price. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said the Bible gives us assurance of our salvation. It helps us to have victory in our lives. I mean, all you got to do, get the feeling down one day, just read over 1 Corinthians 15. Read down through, what is that, verse 58? But thanks be unto God. Is that where that's at? 1 Corinthians 15, 58, which giveth us the victory. Is that right? That's right. Yeah, that's the last verse. I believe it's 58. Right at the end of that verse. Wow. He can give us victory through that book right there.
Amen.
Let me say thirdly, listen. The Bible is a way to help us to have answered prayer.
Amen.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Watch this. Take your Bible and go to John chapter number 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter number 15. Do you do a lot of praying and it don't get answered? I've been praying real hard about those test results for Ashley tomorrow. But I got a promise right here. John 15 and verse number 7. Watch what Jesus said. Now notice, what does this verse start with? What?
If.
You know what that means? That means that what's being said after if is conditional on that if.
Yes, amen.
Now pay attention. He said, if ye abide in me, and my what?
Words.
My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Yes.
Everybody always likes to quote that part, ask what you will. But we want to leave that if ye abide in me. And my words abide in you. Then.
Amen.
Now listen, I'm not an idiot. A baby Christian. Bobby, I don't know where he went. There he is. Bobby back. He just been saved a week. God's not going to require him to have as much of that book in him as he's going to require me to have in me. Brother Freddie's just celebrating 18 years of being saved. Well, there's no way Bobby can be as far along down that road as Brother Freddie is. God knows where he's at. And God knows where you are. God also knows when we've been saved all these years, but we still don't have it in us. Amen. That's the problem in our churches, I believe. Too much fluff and not enough Bible. Amen. But you're without excuse. We get it from every single direction. Amen. It's there as much as you want. I promise you that. He said, if I'd abide in Him and His words abide in me, He'd take care of those prayers. Wow. I thought that's pretty good stuff. That's enough to make me want to read my Bible right there. I know that's a selfish motive. But that's enough to make me want to read my Bible right there. You know what I could say? I could say, God. Now, I'm abiding in You. I'm staying with You. And God, I put this word in my heart like You said. Now, You said to ask what You will. I need that test to be negative. Is that too forward? It's okay to say that. I mean, I've done my part, God. Now, how dare me get bitter at God when things go unanswered if I'm not abiding in Him? You know what that means, to abide in Him? To abide, that means to live. The brothers say, where I stay is at. In other words, I don't just stay with Him on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I stay with Him 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I am abiding in the Lord. I'm walking with Him. Amen. Amen. He said, if you'll do that and you'll put that book in you, you'll let My words abide in you, you live in Me, let that book live in you, then ask what you will. But there ain't many Christians fulfilling that verse. Boy, it got quiet there. I'm guilty of not doing it. Amen. Wow. Well, that book will help us get our prayer answered. How would you like for God? I don't know. I can't give you exactly how much of this book you should have, as much as you can. But how would you like to know if you've got a lost family member that you get down here on this altar and pray for God to save them, and while you're praying, wherever they're at, God convicts their heart? Wouldn't be the first time. I've read about little old gray-headed mamas laying in the altar in revival meetings praying. While they're praying, their old wayward boy walked through the door, come down the other aisle and get saved while she's praying. I heard a story about one pastor walked over during a revival meeting, said, Sister so-and-so, you can quit praying now. He's in. Yeah. Well, that's hooked up with God, ain't it? I remember at White Oak one time, I'll never forget as long as I live, there's an old man, and Miss Marvine may remember who he was, and my mom, but if I did, I wouldn't call his name, but he was one of them I call them service killers. I mean, it would be getting on, having a good time, and this sucker would stand up, and I was just a kid, but I was big enough to realize it. As soon as he stood up and testified, the meeting's over. Lincoln Cole is in heaven now. But he slipped down out of his seat right there close to where we were sitting, got on the floor and said, God, I don't care if you have to kill him, but shut him up. And that man got to choking so bad. And his wife Mildred sitting there beside said, oh God, Lincoln, you've killed him. She wasn't playing. She was serious. She had that much confidence in the old man's prayer. Wow. How would you like to be so powerful in your prayer life you had to be careful what you asked for? Amen. Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it, brother? Ah, never mind. The Bible is the way to answered prayer. The Bible gives assurance of salvation. It's a way to have victory in our life. Fourthly, the Bible is God's secret of guidance. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Do you know you could live your life off them two verses right there? Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart That means 100%, doesn't it?
Best
I can figure. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Wow. You need direction? Psalms 119 and 105 said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Several of us in here, we like to deer hunt. Hadn't got to do it much this year. I had big plans. Boy, I was going to pile them up like cordwood, brother. I was stout. I was going to feed your family, brother. I was going to hook you up. But I ain't really got to go. But I'm always real funny about my flashlight. See, we go and get in our stands about 30, 40 minutes before the sun comes up. And I'm as clumsy as anything in the world. I got me a little hat that goes on the bill. A little light goes on the bill of my hat now. Oh, it's cool, man. It's LED and everything. You know what that does? It guides me. You know what that Bible does? It guides me.
Yes.
You say, boy, you've been here 16 years? Wow, boy, wait, why you stay that long? Because it ain't guided me nowhere else. It ain't guided me nowhere else. Oh, I've had temptations, but I didn't have no scripture on it. Wonder how often we make decisions, major decisions about our life, but we don't ask God to give us something on it. Well, I think God wants us to do this. God wants us to do that. Boy, you better have some light on it. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Freddie and I, we've had that little saying for a long time, as long as he's been here. Boy, let's pray God to give us some light on this. Something going on in the church, some change need to be made or whatever the case may be. And boy, we just don't want to jump out there. We've done learned. We do stupid stuff. Left ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. So we pray God to give us some understanding. Why? Because that book right there will guide you. Amen. I've experienced it. Amen. First, last one, number five. This Bible will help you to be a soul winner. This Bible will help you to be a soul winner. You cannot read just the Gospels and not become more soul conscious than you are right now. Amen. Psalms number 126 and verse number 6, I love that. It said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. We go out and start witnessing to people. You know, the number one thing you can do is give them Bible. You know why? Because Hebrews said this thing's sharp, and it's quicker than any, or it's quick and sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
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 That thing will help us, boy. As we go out and try to tell other people about Jesus Christ. He said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, he said that thing quick. Is it quickens? I didn't write it all down. To the dividing asunder. That thing will cut you in half.
Yes,
it'll open you up, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen. You know what you do? When we kill a deer, y'all probably won't hear all this. Before that meat's processed, that thing has to be opened up. You know what you can see? Everything that's inside it.
Yeah.
That book will open you up. It'll gut you.
Yes,
and let you see what's inside you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
What are Bible? And we could go on and on and on about what this Bible will do for us. Just some things I thought I'd share with you tonight. The kids sang a little song. It says, read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow. Grow, grow. Is that right? And you'll grow, grow, grow. And the whole time they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Then they say, neglect your Bible and forget to pray. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. It's a cute little song. But it is absolutely true.
Amen.
You cannot grow without reading it. You can't do it. No spiritual growth comes without the Word of God.
Amen.
There's no way you can grow without it. Now listen, with it, you can't help but grow. Amen. Let's take our Bible more serious. Every time the preacher, this is what I do because I preach with a lot of other preachers. And I'll be honest with you, I get a lot of messages off of what they preach, not their message. Preachers know what I'm talking about. You ever been hearing a preacher preach and God give you a sermon out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. And that's what I always do. These guys get up to preach, and usually they're preaching before me. I like it better when they're preaching after me, because then the pressure's off. Amen. But I'll sit there and I'll say, Lord, give me something. Give me something. I mean, boy, if all you want me to have is what he's saying, I'll take that too. But God, give me something. Amen. And he'll give me something. And you just can't help it. Every time you walk in this place, whether it's in Sunday school and Bible classes or in here for church, when that Bible's open, you ought to say, Lord, give me something. I know I don't deserve it, but I sure could use it. Lord, give me something. I think our problem is sometimes we come in, we're full already of everything else in this world. And God says, well, I would give you something, but there ain't nowhere left to put it. Amen. People leave the church sometime and say, well, we left just because we weren't getting anything. I've heard that a lot. Now listen, in the early days, that really weighed heavy on me. Because I know I ain't the best preacher in the world. But I do know you can get something. If you want it. You can go to his Sunday school class. Or his Sunday school class. Or Brother Charles's class. And be so full by the time you come in here, dessert's all you can have. It'd be like trying to pour a pitcher of water in a shot glass. You full when you get in. Amen. Don't tell me you can't get fed here. I know better. Problem is, it's not that the table isn't spread. It's that the appetite's not there. Amen. I know there are days that I can't be 100% every time. There are going to be days I just write that off and say, forgive me, Lord. Amen. And I leave with my tail between my legs feeling utterly defeated. I think that's got a lot to do with humbling me too. And I know it can't be awesome every time or even good every time, but it ain't bad every time. Amen. And even out of the bad ones where I may have missed it, there's been days when I stood at that back door back there and I thought, I'm going to get somebody else preaching tonight. I was about halfway thinking that this morning. I'm just going to get somebody else to preach now. My people need somebody to preach to them. And somebody stopped at the door. It never fails. That was exactly what I needed. I'm thinking that's the sorriest thing. I wish I could take it back. You ever had one of them? Yeah. I wish I could erase that out of their memories. And then one person, I thought, well, Lord, maybe I wasn't on my game or whatever you want to call it. If that one lady got help today, thank you. You see, God can take my mess and bless you with it. He took that little boy's lunch, didn't he? Fed 5,000 besides the women and the children and had leftovers. Isn't that something? He can do it. He can do it. Let's stand to our feet tonight.
Brother Todd, could y'all get us another verse or two? Maybe we'll just have a little short invitation if somebody wants to pray. Listen, I remember when I first got saved, my wife and Ashley, she was our baby. I got saved in December 31st, or January. It was already after midnight, so it was January 1st. And I had an old Bible that I'd had when I went to school. And it was wore out. It had been rode around the floorboard of every car I drove to school. I only took it because I had to. But my wife and my baby, they bought me a Scofield Bible. You know what I'd do with it? I'd take it to work with me. Everybody else, we'd always eat our lunch real quick, and we'd sit down on a stack of sheetrock or something on the job and shoot the bull and everything else. Boy, I'd cram them more sandwiches down, steal away somewhere. Say, God, I don't know much about this book right here, but I sure do want to. I sure do want to. I'd still like to get that Bible and preach out of it sometime. It's just falling apart. Makes a difference when you're hungry for it. It's not like, got to go read my Bible. It's, boy, let me get this bologna sandwich out of the way so I can get over here to some steak, amen. Maybe the Lord spoke to you tonight about neglecting the book. Maybe we'll just ask him, Lord, help me to be more faithful to reading your word. Amen. Y'all go ahead and sing a verse. God's speaking to your heart. You just mind him.
Let me more.